Good morning. Good to see you all here today. Another beautiful day that the Lord has made, and we are here to worship Him in spirit and in truth. So some announcements I have to go over before we go on with our service. Next Sunday is our Community Patriotic Worship Service, July 5th, and that will be at the Menno City School Gym. That's the old gym as we know it. 10 o'clock next Sunday morning. So we don't have worship service here. As you see in the bulletin, this year the offering on that day will be divided between the fire department and our ambulance crew. For whatever needs, they always have needs. We know that, and we thank God for all of you who serve on both of those areas, the fire department and the ambulance. So God bless you for doing that. The Family Fun Trilogy, that's what we're calling our VBS this year. There's a lot of information there. Same dates, we're just doing 3 nights instead of 5. We're doing 2 hours instead of 3 hours each night. Just changing things up, doing it out of the box. So I'm not going to go into all that. You can read it there as you have time. Also, the all-church cleaning. You should have probably received your Salem Spire in the mail before today. Maybe you received it yesterday. So please look at that. Read it, okay? That is where the list for the all-church cleaning is in, that July issue. If you didn't get it by early this coming week, then call the church office and we can see what happened. So please pay attention to that. It takes every one of us doing our part to get this whole place all cleaned and freshened up before the start of the school year. I want to say a special thanks to our high school students. We had at least 17 of them, I believe, here on Thursday doing work projects, some projects here at church, some at the parsonage, at the Ball Diamond. They painted all the bleachers. And also at the care center, they did landscape work out front and in the back, not in the courtyard, but around the back side, all the way around the outside. So thanks to all of them. We had a great time. I was so happy because it was the first time we've been able to be together with our high school kids like that since the middle of March, really. So it was a wonderful day. Thanks to Scott and Amy Nuss and Matt and Tricia Fisher for leading that as well. We are going to be going out to the Black Hills, you see, this week. We're actually going to leave this afternoon and plan to be back Thursday evening, God willing. We're having a sort of a reunion with all of my siblings and families. Well, there'll be 21 of us out there together, so looking forward to having that time together with them. One other thing I wanted to mention here is we are going to host the blood drive, the Women of the Church, in July. That's in the insert, July 23rd. They are doing that. You know, with the pandemic, the blood donations have really gone down, understandably so. So there is a great need for that. Jennifer Herbel, what she needs are some people willing to help with that. She's coordinating it, but she needs some if you're willing to call people for donations and probably some workers here on that day, I'm guessing, as well. So if you could talk to Jennifer about that, if you're able to help, she would really appreciate it. The rest of the announcements, I will let you read as you have time. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you, before your throne, as always, with great excitement in our hearts. Anytime we get to gather together as brothers and sisters in Christ, as the family of God, it is exciting. We come, Father, to sing praises to you as our opening hymn, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of all creation. And so you are the maker of the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is therein. And how incredible it is, Father, that you created this one planet that we call Earth for mankind to live upon. Out of all the universe, you made us to live here. And you sent your only begotten Son to be our Savior and Redeemer and Deliverer. So that through you, Jesus, our Mediator, we can one day go to heaven. and how glorious that will be. But thank you for living in us by the power of your Spirit each and every day on this earth. Help us to realize that and the joy of it and the wonder of it. And so we gather, Father, in this place. And thank you for filling us with your Spirit to overflowing. Thank you for filling this sanctuary with your glory and your goodness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together. We'll sing our opening hymn, which is number 210, Praise to the Lord the Almighty. Such a beautiful hymn. We give him all of our praise and glory and thanksgiving. Why don't you be seated, please? We'll have our sharing of joys and concerns here now. First, I guess I'll just start out with, if I could have Johnny and Lori, why don't you guys just come down here for a second, please? As you've read in the bulletin and probably know, Johnny and Lori have served as our custodians for 12 years, and they have done a wonderful job. It's been so great having them live right next door. You couldn't ask for anything better. But the time has come in their hearts for them to step down. And so we, from the church wanted and consistory, wanted to give you guys a card. Yes, and thank you for all your service to the Lord these years. Yeah, amen. And I know they have looked at it as a ministry unto the Lord. You're going to make me tear up here, Lori. Yes, and they have done well. God bless you. Okay, now I got to read my notes. So thank you for doing that. We want to continue praying for Jimmy Whale. That's Johnny's twin brother. If you don't know him, most all of you do. He's in, finished 2 weeks of treatments now? 1 week of treatments. Yeah, right. And has been taking him very well and doing well. So we continue to lift him and his wife Christina up and their family. Also, continued prayers for Glenda Walker. That's Marilee Houck's daughter. She lives up in Clear Lake, has cervical cancer, and has started her treatments also. Prayers for Elora Wilcoxon. That's Josh and Amanda's little one. She's a year and something, not too much over a year. And she has a mucus cyst on her lip that has to be surgically removed, and that's going to be this Tuesday. So prayers for her. You know, she was born very premature and is still small for her age, but is doing well. So we want to lift up Elora and the family. Also, Roberta Stabner had asked me yesterday to mention her nephew, Jason Wagner. A lot of you remember Mike and Kathy, right? So Jason, I guess, lives in Colorado, and he's I think, just 44. Is that what she said? Some of you maybe were classmates. But anyway, he has congestive heart failure, and he's been in the hospital in a diabetic coma here. She didn't know if he was out of that coma or not, but his blood sugar was up to 2,000 when they took him in. So very, very serious. So, yes. Yeah. Amen. Thank you. Do you know, is he still in the coma, or did it? Okay. Okay. All right. Thank you. So his blood sugar is, they've been able to get it down to 140 something. But yes, a very, very serious situation. So let me see here. There was a car accident yesterday evening with three of our high school girls. I'll just say that, one from our church, but they are okay. The one from our church had to go to the hospital in Scotland, but she was able to come home last night too. So we'll just lift them up in prayer, and all of our young people as far as that goes. Today also is Mike and Joanne Walter's 51st anniversary. I know they're not here, but if you see them, you might give them a congratulations on that. So, anything else? Okay, over here? Okay. Well, Justin Hondel has a birthday today. I thought I saw him come in. Where are you, Joni? You were sworn to secrecy. Happy birthday, Justin. And Jeremy's was this last Tuesday. That's right. Happy birthday to you. Close together. Okay, let's bow our... Oh! Yeah, Junius's was recently. And speaking of that, before we pray, I'll just say it now. So I said last Sunday about their son, Grant, his wedding was, and they had... edible orchid flowers at the reception. And so they have extras here, and the Crick children are going to hand them out to the children, right? Is really who they're for? Anybody who wants one. They say it tastes like lettuce. Is that correct? I asked Ann if she tried one. She said no. So if you ever wanted to taste an edible orchid flower, today is your day after church.
Did you taste one?
I didn't taste one either. Maybe I will today. I better. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord God Almighty, you are the Ancient of Days, and you know us each by name. You know every detail of our lives. Inside and out, you know us. Father, thank you for these three girls last night that in the accident that there wasn't loss of life, as far as we know, I don't think there wasn't broken bones, some bruises and scrapes, I understand, but thank you for your mercy upon them, for watching over them, Lord, and just healing now from the bruises. We pray over all our young people, Lord, keep them safe throughout these summer months and all through the year. We love them dearly, and we thank you for their love for you and their work for you. We're truly blessed in our school here with young people that know you and love you and serve you, and we thank you for that. Father, we lift up Jimmy Whale and Glenda Walker as they're both in the season of treatments for cancer. And thank you for your power mightily at work within their physical bodies. We pray for Jason Wagner out in Colorado, in a very serious situation with the diabetes and the congestive heart failure. And Lord, you know exactly where he's at, and we pray over him in Jesus' name. Your name is all powerful. We ask for healing and restoration throughout his being, to the organs of his body in Jesus' name. Fill that room, we pray, the hospital room with your presence, and let their thoughts be centered upon you. And be with his parents, his wife and his parents, Mike and Kathy, as I'm sure this is difficult on all of them. We know it is. Father, I thank you for Johnny and Lori and their faithfulness in serving you here in this church these last 12 years as custodians, and the wonderful above and beyond job that they have done, giving and serving you with all of their hearts. Thank you for blessing them and the blessing we have received. We pray for Alora Wilcoxon as she is scheduled for this surgery on Tuesday to have this mucus cyst removed from her lip, and we just lift her up. We pray a hedge of protection over her as they go into the hospital. She's so small, and we thank you that you are holding her in the palm of your hands and going before and making a way for this. Thank you, Father, for the birthdays mentioned here, for Grant and Rachel Fleechek's wedding last week, your blessing upon their lives. And upon the whole congregation, Lord, I know there's many who would dearly love to be here with us, but because of physical conditions and situations are just not able to yet. So we pray for them as they watch the service in their own homes, that they would be blessed and filled with your Spirit there. Father, we continue to pray for our nation that so desperately need your help. We need healing. We need revival to this land, for hearts to be changed, transformed by the power of the Spirit of the living God, to be made new creations in Christ Jesus. For those, Lord, in areas now where it seems the pandemic is ramping up again, Lord, be with those cities, the large cities. Be with the healthcare workers and servers, servants, Lord. And keep them safe. Give them strength, the doctors, the nurses, Lord, over all of these healthcare facilities, care centers included. We thank you, Father, for watching over them. And Lord, for another beautiful blessing of rain earlier this week. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to read Psalm 20, verse 7 and 8. It says this: some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. Amen. Of course, the offering box is in back. We'll stand and sing together the doxology. If you'd stand, please. God, from whom all blessings flow, praise him, all creatures here below, praise him above the heavenly hosts, praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. And so, Father, we do praise you with our lives as we live, with our words that we speak, with the first fruits of all of our increase. We praise you as we bring our tithes and our offerings here to present them to you in this storehouse. Thank you for health and life and strength that you give to us each and every day, Lord. You are the God who is more than enough. You answer prayers in unexpected ways. You are the one who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond whatever we could ask or think, according to your power that is at work within us. And so we say, to you be glory in the church throughout all ages, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray together the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Anne is going to come and do the children's time here.
Good morning, everyone. Morning, boys and girls. How are you? How about all the boys and girls wave at me so I know where you are at? All right, way in the back. Oh, there's a, yeah, Julie Crick just raised her hand. She is a big kid, just like me. Wow, what holiday is coming up this week? Actually, Saturday. What? The 4th of July, right, the 4th of July. And what do we celebrate on the 4th of July? We celebrate our freedom, right? In 1776, a long, 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 long time ago, our country separated from England and became our own country, the United States of America. So today I want to talk about two flags that we have brought in a little bit closer to us today. I want you to tell me, how are these two flags the same? You need to pull them out, please. And Jamie, if you just want to stick them up there when you like, whenever, I'll probably go back and forth. Look at these two flags. Tell me something, how are they the same? The color, that's right. They both have, what color are they? Red, white, and blue, right. And they also stand for other things. The United States of America stands for our country and all the freedoms that we have. The Christian flag stands for Jesus and his kingdom and eternal life and all the freedoms we have in him. Each flag also has a pledge that goes with it. Now, you boys and girls, you say the Pledge of Allegiance when you're in school. How often? Every day. Every single day you do. And we're going to look at those words at that one. It's right up there, too. So, and at the end, we're going to say these two pledges together. We'll stand and do that. Let's look at the words, though. I pledge allegiance. A pledge is a promise. Allegiance means to be loyal or true to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. The republic means the government, and the government in which the people elect to be their leaders. One nation under God means that we're under God. Indivisible, it means it cannot be divided. With liberty, that means freedom. And justice, that is fairness. For who? For all. Does it matter where we came from? Where we were born?
In Belarus.
You probably have a different pledge. Does it matter what color our skin is? No. Or what nationality we are? Or what? No, it doesn't. All under. So what this really means is that the promise is to be true to the flag of the United States of America and the government to which it stands, one nation under God, which cannot be divided, freedom and fairness for all. Now, when we look at the Christian flag, it also has a pledge in similar words. I pledge allegiance. Again, you're promising, you're making a promise to the Christian flag and to the Savior whose kingdom it stands. We're promising to be loyal to Jesus. One brotherhood, everybody, uniting all mankind, which means Jesus loves how many of us? All of us. John 3:16. He loves all of us. Doesn't matter what color our skin is. Doesn't matter where we live. He loves us all in service and in love. So what this means is our goal as Christians, boys and girls, is that we should serve Jesus and love others and tell them about Jesus. What we're really saying is, I promise to be true to the flag of Jesus and to his heavenly kingdom. One brotherhood uniting all of us, no matter who we are or where we live, in service and in love. So whenever we see these flags, and we'll be seeing them this coming week, let's remember the pledges that are behind them. Jesus said in Galatians, or Paul said in Galatians 5, verse 1, "For it is freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." By a yoke of slavery of sin is what he's talking about. So let's stand up, and we're going to do our pledge first to the United States of America. We can put our hand on our hearts for both of them. Look at our flag and say it together. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And now to the Christian flag, and you can keep your hand over your heart on that too. I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands, one brotherhood uniting all mankind in service and in love. Thank you very much. You can be seated. So let's remember that, boys and girls, all right? All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for our country and for its flag. We ask you to help our country to truly remain being one nation under God. And help us to honor Jesus and pledge our loyalty to him and to tell others about him, no matter who it is, no matter where we are. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week, boys and girls.
We'll sing 219 and 220. They go together in the hymnal. Surely the presence of the Lord. We'll sing that twice and then go into the next one. Thank you. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. You are here. You are here in our midst. You know us each by name. You call us by name. Lord, we do reach out in faith and touch you by faith. We think of the woman with the issue of blood for all those years. Your word says she grew none better, only worse. She pressed through that crowd where she wasn't even supposed to be. Said, if only I can touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. And she did. She touched you, Jesus, by faith. And you knew it. You stopped everything. And she was healed. How beautiful. How beautiful that is. And your power is nonetheless today, this very day. And I thank you for being here in our midst and moving among us by the power of your Spirit. We do say and sing, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Thank you for it. Thank you for your word. Thank you for touching lives here. Maybe it's an encouragement that is needed. Maybe it's a physical touch. Whatever it might be, spiritually an uplifting, a refreshing, you are the one who is able and willing to do so. Father, thank you for your word as we look into it today. In Jesus' name, I ask you to speak through me, and I thank you for it. Amen. Amen. Second Chronicles is where we will be. Chapter 7, in verse 11. I've said it often, I say it again, there is nothing, more amazing, more wonderful than the presence of the Lord in our midst. Wow. Verse 11. When Solomon had finished the temple of the Lord and the royal palace, and had succeeded in carrying out all he had in mind to do in the temple of the Lord and in his own palace, the Lord appeared to him at night and said, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifices. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now my eyes, this is God talking, my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. I have chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there. As for you, if you walk before me as David your father did, and do all I commanded, and observe my decrees and laws, I will establish your royal throne as I covenanted with David your father when I said, you shall never fail to have a man to rule over Israel. But if you turn away and forsake the decrees and commands I have given you, and go off to serve other gods and worship them, then I will uproot Israel from my land, which I have given them, and will reject this temple I have consecrated for my name. I will make it a byword and an object of ridicule among all peoples. And though this temple is now so imposing, all who pass by will be appalled and say, why has the Lord done such a thing to this land and to this temple? People will answer, because they have forsaken the Lord, the God of their fathers, who brought them out of Egypt, and they have embraced other gods, worshiping and serving them. That is why he brought all this disaster on them. Amen. Now that's a very familiar passage there, especially the prayer verses 12 and 13 as it goes on there in that. So I want to look at this though this morning and talk about it. We're coming up to the 4th of July, as Ann talked with the children about. It's not my turn to preach next Sunday. It'll be Pastor Teresa Jacobson from Grace Lutheran. She'll have the message. I'll certainly have a part in the service. So I just had on my heart to focus this way today. We all know the song, God Bless the USA by Lee Greenwood. There have been times that we've had it sung here, and we love it. I love it. I love the chorus where it says, and I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. I won't forget the man who died, who gave that right to me. Thank you, veterans. And I'll gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. Because there ain't no doubt, I love this land, God bless the USA. It's a beautiful song, isn't it? And so my question is, as we think about this, then how do we stand and defend our nation today for what it was founded upon? How do we do that? Number one, if you're starting in filling in blanks, well, physically. And physically by that, I'm talking about those who have served in our military, who are serving, who will serve. Some of the young ones growing up, maybe God is calling you to that service in our nation. And we are thankful for our veterans and our active military. That should have been three blanks, but there's two. That okay? I always get questions, so that's why I'm saying it. We thank God for you, and we have so many in our congregation. It's neat to see here, we have all the way from our World War II veteran, 99 years old, all the way down to active military right now, and everywhere in between, through all the wars since then. God bless your families. You know what it's like. So, excuse me. To have someone overseas where you don't even know where they are at overseas a lot of times nowadays, the challenges that brings. Think of Ann's dad. He was a lieutenant colonel in the Army, served 26 years through Korea, Vietnam. He was in Italy, around the world, various places. He was on the intelligence side, so not in the active combat side, but 26 years, and then went on in civil service for 20 more years. I was thinking of, where are you at, Cheryl? Cheryl's son, Aaron, who's full-time in the Navy. How many years has he been in now? A lot? A lot. Okay. I should have asked you ahead of time, not meaning to put you on the spot. Travis Gramco. I texted him yesterday. I said, how many years are you in now, Travis? He said, as of June the 17th, he finished 17 years. 17 years, full-time Navy. He's a senior chief officer. E8, he said, is his rank as far as that part goes. And on we could go. The phrase in that song, I won't forget the men who died and gave that right to me, that right of freedom that we enjoy in this nation. Psalm 144, verse 1 and 2, listen here what this says. The psalmist said, praise the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war. If you say, where does this all come out in Scripture? Right there is one place. He trains my hands for war, my fingers for battle. He is my loving God, my fortress, my stronghold, and my deliverer, my shield, in whom I take refuge. who subdues peoples under me. So physically. Secondly, the blank there is careers. I was trying to think of a word. Well, what about us back home who aren't in the service? Our career, our jobs. We are supporting our nation. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Work is necessary. It is. For a nation to succeed, it is necessary. And God's word, 2 Thessalonians is one I'm going to read there, chapter 3, verse 10. Paul was dealing with that church of Thessalonica at that time, and he said, "For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule. If a man will not work, he shall not eat. We hear that some among you are idle. They are not busy, but they are busybodies." God designed us to work. Now, certainly, yes, there's situations with health and all of that. I'm not talking about that, obviously. But if we are able, that's his word for us, to work. And we feel good about it, don't we? We feel good about ourselves as we're able to do that and earn an income, and God put that within us. That's one way we stand and defend our nation today. Unless we want socialism, which some do, where everything is everybody's. Well, everybody's alike. Well, and if you want to try that, then live in one of the colonies. And I'm not knocking that. That's their choice. They do well with it. Wonderful people. If that's what we want, then I guess move in. No, God created us to work, to be individuals. When I was texting Travis yesterday, and I just said again, thank you so much for your service. And this was his answer to me, and it fits so well into this second point here of our careers. He said, back to my thanks, he said, "No problem." I thought this was so cool how he said it. "I appreciate you and the people at home staying proud of our country. Despite the current state of things, Despite the current state of things, it is still the best place I have been." And he has been around the world serving. What a statement. Third, this is where we'll spend most of our time here. Let me back up on the second. I can read again. How, with our careers, it comes in also. I said this last Sunday, I think, too, but I'm going to say it again. We have several in our congregation. You're serving on our local school board, serving on our care center board, serving maybe as county commissioners, serving on the church board, and then it goes up. Serve. We as Christians, believers, we've got to be involved in these offices, in our local state legislature, as God leads, certainly nationally as God leads. We need godly men and women in these offices and in these positions. We desperately do. Now, okay, back to third, spiritually. How do we defend our nation spiritually and then in prayer? Prayer is the second blank there. We can all do that. No matter what our age, no matter what our physical capability is, we can all pray. See, when we think about this, we are going to get to 2 Chronicles here, if you're wondering, right now. On the context of this passage, back in 2 Chronicles, we are seeing Israel, the nation of Israel, really in their finest hour. They're the height of the era of that nation. God has brought them, as we know, to Egypt. Well, it started with Abraham. Eventually, they're in Egypt. He saves them. They become slaves. They're there for 400 plus years as slaves. He leads them out through Moses. They're 40 years in the wilderness. That one generation has to die off because they did not trust God. He raises up Joshua, who leads them into the promised land. They have to defeat the enemies that are there. And then they come through the period of the judges, which is an up and down time. Then they say, what? We want a king. We want to be like the other nations. Give us a king. So God says, all right, can have a king. So they choose the most handsome one, Saul. He started out good, got way off track, and then comes David, just a shepherd boy, the least among his brothers, but he had a heart after God, didn't he? God raised him up, and he shepherded the people, the scriptures say, with integrity of heart. And as you know, he has this desire for a temple to be built for God there in Jerusalem. He gets everything ready, and it's Solomon's to do the work and to lead. So they are in their finest hour. In the first verses of this chapter 7 of 2 Chronicles, listen here at the dedication of that temple, what happened. In chapter 6, Solomon has this incredible prayer. Chapter 7, when Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The priests could not enter the temple of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled it. What was happening to them if they tried? It was like there was a wall there. They tried to come in and they just knocked flat. Bam, bam. The presence of God is so strong and so powerful, they could not stand to minister. An incredible sight. It says, when all the Israelites, the people, saw the fire coming down and the glory of the Lord above the temple, what did they do? They knelt on the pavement with their faces to the ground, and they worshiped and gave thanks to the Lord, saying, for he is good, his love endures forever. For he is good. Why don't you say that after me, okay? Say this, for the Lord is good. His mercy endures forever. Say it with me now. For the Lord is good. His mercy endures forever. Again. For the Lord is good. His mercy endures forever. Yes. Amen. It does. And so then we come to verse 11. It says, when Solomon had finished the temple of the Lord and the royal palace, there was a palace built too, succeeded in it carrying out all that he had in mind to do in the temple of the Lord and in his own palace, the Lord appeared to him at night and said, I have heard your prayer. That should bring comfort to you right there. He hears your prayers. He does. He doesn't always answer them how we think he should, or in the time we think he should, but he hears your prayers. I love that. Solomon, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifices. And then we come. There's the blessings of obedience, letter A there, where he says, as for you, if. A lot of God's promises are conditional. If you do this, then this will be the result. If you walk before me as David your father did. Was David perfect? No, none of us are. But he was quick to repent. And if you do all I command and observe my decrees and laws, I will establish your royal throne as I covenanted with David your father when I said, you shall never fail to have a man to rule over Israel. B. What are the consequences of disobedience? But if, there it is again, if you turn away and forsake the decrees, commands I've given you, go off to serve other gods and worship them, then I will uproot Israel from my land, which I have given them. And though this temple is now so imposing, do you know what imposing means? It means it is impressive because of its size and its dignity and its grandeur. And it was in that day, it was incredible, Solomon's temple. Now, though this temple is now so imposing, all who pass by will be appalled and say, why? Why has the Lord done such a thing to this land and to this temple? People will answer because they have forsaken the Lord, the God of their fathers, who brought them out of Egypt. They've embraced other gods, worshiping and serving them. That is why he brought all this disaster on them. What does that do to your heart and your mind today? The day in which we're living. We think of our nation blessed really so incredibly beyond the nations of the world. As Travis said, and that I wrote it down exactly as he texted me there. No problem. I appreciate you and the people at home staying proud of our country. Despite the current state of things, it is still the best place I've been. And it is. It is, even though we've got a lot going on and we need desperately revival. And this is our part, prayer. And you know, I hammer on this a lot. But we have got to be doing it, and I believe that we are. I hope we are. I hope we are every day lifting up the nation in prayer and asking God for the outpouring of His Spirit. We have got to do it because prayer is powerful. Do we think we're too great to ever fall? We're not. We looked at it with Babylon. We've been working through that series there of the chapters. Babylon, the greatest power in the world at that time. 600 years before Christ was born in Bethlehem. Nebuchadnezzar, God dealt with him. He humbled himself. Then God restored him. Then the grandson, Belshazzar, as we came in Daniel chapter 5, still such a prideful king again. And God spoke to him. That was the handwriting on the wall, remember? And God, well, Daniel interprets that handwriting. It says, Daniel speaking to Belshazzar, O Belshazzar, you have not humbled yourself, even though you knew all this. Remember what that meant? It goes back to his grandfather Nebuchadnezzar. He knew what God had done in Nebuchadnezzar's life. Even though you knew all of that, instead you have set yourself up against the Lord of heaven. We want to be in that place? No. No, 1,000 times no. But you did not honor the God who holds in his hand your life and all your ways. We honor him. We're honoring him today. Therefore, he sent this hand that wrote that inscription. What did it say? That message. Mene, mene, tekel, parson, in Aramaic. God has numbered your days, Belshazzar. Your time is up. Time's up. Kingdom's going to be divided. You do not measure up to the standard that he has set. Letter C. God's call to action. Okay, God's call to action. The next is prayer / repentance. That's what he's asking of us. That's what he's asking in the 2 Chronicles chapter 7 when he's saying this to Solomon. Verse 13, when I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain or command locusts to devour the land or where are we at right now? In the midst of a global pandemic, or send a plague among my people, if my people. See, that's us. We, you know, you can't really expect the unbelievers to be getting this or going to their knees in prayers. Really, they don't know. That's why we have to do it. The church has to do it. Is there a strong church in America? Yeah, there is. There really is a strong body of believers in America. Do we hear about it on the news? No. Will we? Rarely. So we get to tend to thinking, there's just a few of us. Remember Elijah and the prophets of Baal? And he ran and hid, and I'm not going through it all, but of course at one time, you know, he wants to die because he thinks he's the only one of the Lord's servants left. I'm the only one. And God doesn't even give him the time of day on that. He's having a pity party. And we all can do that. And God doesn't even give him the time of day on that. He says, look, You get out there, and he gives him the instruction of what he's supposed to do, and he says, I'm telling you, I have 7,000 reserved who have not bowed their knee to the prophet Baal. Sometimes we think, because we aren't hearing it, that, oh, but the church is strong. It really is in our nation, and there are multiplied hundreds of thousands and thousands of believers praying earnestly with us all of the time. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, got to do that and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. We are in a spiritual battle for the life of this nation. I've said that before too. Anne just went through the armor of God with the kids over several weeks. God has given us these weapons of our warfare that are not carnal. They're not natural guns and cannons and tanks and missiles and all that stuff. No, it is prayer, which is more powerful than all. James 1:16 says this, for the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man or woman makes tremendous power available that is dynamic in its working. You got to know that. Don't think of yourselves, well, who am I? I don't know how to pray. No, are you God's child? Is Jesus your Lord and Savior? Then you are that righteous person, not in yourself, but in Him, in His righteousness. He has clothed you with His righteousness. He hears your prayers, however simple or complex they might be. He is hearing. And He is working behind the scenes. What we do not see, we stand. I've heard say, not from this congregation, but elsewhere. At times I've heard, well, I don't care what's going on in the country. As long as the economy's going and I'm working and things are going with me, then that's all I care about. Really? That is not a good attitude. What about our children? What about our grandchildren who need to embrace and know the same freedoms that we have enjoyed our lives? That's why we stand in prayer and do more than that and be involved and we vote. We have got to do that. I was so blessed this week. I got a text from a grandma who's not from our church, but the little guy is. He's about 4 or 5-ish in age. And she showed me this video, and then she told me later a little more what happened. She was watching him. They were outside. And she said to the little grandson, listen, do you hear the birds are singing? They're singing to you. And he said, I know. Do you know what they're singing? She said, what? And he starts singing, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. That was so cool. And he even had the second verse for this age. I've got the peace that passes understanding down in my heart. Where? He'd go, where? How neat is that? Out of the mouth and hearts and minds of those little ones. She says, look, the birds are singing to you. I know, Grandma, you know what they're singing? And that's what comes out. I love that. They're so precious to us. Oh, my goodness. So we stand in prayer for this nation. This is in the insert of your bulletin, this quote. I put it there because it's so powerful. I'm going to read it. You can follow along. I'll close with this, and then we're going to have a prayer. A living, vibrant, Bible-believing, God-obeying church that stands against the tide of popular culture, disbelief, self-exaltation is America's only true hope. Only such a people who themselves turn, that's us, can begin the timely turning of a nation that is plunging blindly, full speed ahead to her destruction. Now that's hard to think about, as great as things are, but I'm telling you, the last two lines, may the light in the lighthouse be turned on once again. blazing the light of God's truth from sea to shining sea, and may it begin with you and me. Amen. Amen. And so we sing God Bless America, and we'll keep singing it for however long we sing it at the end. But please take your bulletin there on the back side. There is a prayer for our nation that I typed up, and I'd like us to pray this together. Please join me. Heavenly Father, as we are gathered here before you today, we come as a community of believers within this nation. We come before your throne to humble ourselves and pray. We come to seek your face and to turn from our wicked ways. We come to repent and ask you, Heavenly Father, to forgive our sins as a nation. In many ways, our nation has forsaken you and your word. Forgive our sin of idolatry. Forgive our sin of abortion. We ask you, Lord God, to hear from heaven and forgive our sin and heal our land. We ask for a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God across our nation. And let it begin in each of our hearts today. Help us as a part of your church to stay faithful to your word as you shine your light through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. And we're going to sing our closing song, Shine, Jesus, Shine. It's in the praise books, number 24. Let's stand together as we sing this. With grace and mercy, send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light. Lord, I come. Thank you. Amen. Please receive the benediction. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. And we will sing God Bless America as our prayer. Thank you.